and they won't be able to grow with them. So it's going to be have to be in a new movement. A new ministry comes to a new message must go with a new ministry. You can't build a new ministry on an old one, not effectively. Because in reality, the way this works, I mean, he gave his analogies there, but in human terms, the restraints of the old ministry or of the old denomination or whatever will alter the growth of the new one, and it will corrupt it and cause it to be, you know, both are made worse. Because the new ministry is corrupted and the old thing goes through stresses and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Jesus gave his analogy, but you only need to think a little bit on how that affects the way things are. Because people say, well, what's wrong with the denominations? The denominations are wonderful. The denominations have codified heresy. Well, like what? Well, the resurrection of the dead. Totally perverted by almost every denomination. Almost every denomination, you go to a funeral, they're going to tell you that people, their loved ones are in heaven. Totally perverted, totally corrupted the doctrine of Christ. They say they've erred concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past. And they would never say those words because Paul warned about that. They don't want to say the words, but they say it in that they say that the dead are already in heaven. The dead are not already in, they can't be, because then the resurrection would already be past. And that's not true because Paul said so. And you say, well, Paul, I pay attention to the red letters, you know, the red letters. Well, Jesus said things about the resurrection as well. Probably the most things, some of the most telling things. If you receive him, you ought to receive also the ones he sends. He that receives me receives him that sent me. And he that receives his apostles and his disciples receives him. Of course, identifying those is important, right? But remember, Jesus wrote nothing. Everything that was written of him was written by someone else. So we have to put our trust in the men whom he appointed. That's why I don't trust the men that came afterward, because I'm warned about them by the apostles. Like the apostle Paul warned about the men that would come after him. I'm just going to give you the chapter reference. In Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 35, read about it. He warned that the men who came after would do things to the faith. So I don't follow them. I do follow the apostles that immediately followed Christ. You know, the question had come up about fasting. And while Christ was with them, how could they fast? Right? It was an exciting time. Messiah is here. Then afterwards, they could fast. We can fast today. Be a good day to fast because there's a lot of reason for sorrow. The bridegroom is taken away. It says in the New Testament that all things would be put under Christ's feet and the old. But we do not yet see all things put under his feet. Therefore, we have cause for fasting. 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said to them, Have you never read what David did, when he had need, and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them that were with him. And he saith unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The disciples of Christ and Jesus are walking through the corn on the Sabbath day. And as they go, the disciples begin to pluck ears of corn. And of course, this is technically a violation of the law. And I've gotten some people have tried to contradict me on that issue and saying, no, this is acceptable, and because it's mostly people who are Sabbath defenders. What do I mean by Sabbath defenders? Is there some people today who still think Christians ought to observe the Sabbath and all the commandments? And I do say that we fulfill the commandments who are in Christ Jesus. We fulfill all the commandments by our faith in Christ. And not in just an imputed sense of just, hey, we name it, we say we do it, even though we don't. But rather, that the spirit of the law is fulfilled. You know, in not just following the letter of thou shalt not kill, but following also the spirit. And also the Sabbath. Not just following the letter of the Sabbath, but the spirit. And the spirit is of rest. And Christ is our rest, according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews. And I'm presuming he's the author. It certainly appears so to me. But Christ is our Sabbath. There was another rest spoken of. They spoke of a certain day, then of entering the promised land. There are several different kinds of things referred to as our rest, or as the rest of the people of God. But those things were all shadows of what was to come in Christ. In the law, when the manna came, they were not to go out on the Sabbath day to look for manna because it wasn't going to be there. And people went out to look for manna. And God said, how long will this people disobey me? Even to look for food on the Sabbath was considered a violation of the Sabbath. So certainly going along and picking corn is also a violation. You're supposed to have everything ready for the Sabbath. That's the letter of the law interpretation. Now Jesus, what I'm saying is it was technically illegal. But Jesus does not try to argue a technical question here. He does not try to justify it either. What he says, by saying, oh, this isn't really a violation. What he says is, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. He just said he could forgive sins. Only God could do that. Well, he could also ordain what kind of work could be done on the Sabbath. Because he's God. Because he's the Lord. Because he is master of the Sabbath. He can declare what can and can't be done on that day. Because he has the authority to do so. That's what he's saying. I have the authority to declare what can and can't be done. If my disciples do a thing on the Sabbath and I find no fault with it, then it's not a violation. If I pass by what they've done, it's not a violation. And he says, have you never read what David did? Now, what's the point about David? He went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar. And did eat the shewbread, the hallowed bread that only the priests were supposed to eat. And he gave it also to those who were with him. David was God's anointed. And the anointed of God can sometimes do things beyond what other people could do. Remember, the mountain of God. When Moses went up into the mountain, what it said, nothing shall touch the mountain. If anyone will touch the mountain, they must be killed. They must be stoned or thrust through with a spear if an animal would touch it. So no one was allowed to touch that mountain, but Moses went up there. Well, obviously there was an exception. Jesus is saying the same thing here. David, God made an exception for David. How much more shall he make an exception for me, the Son of God, who am also Lord of the Sabbath, and his disciples, just like David and his companions. They did things that were technically not